From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to a broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message entitled, Help in Trouble. As he continues his series in the book of Joshua, Dr. Cairns has returned to chapter 10, verses 1 through 10, where we read of Adonizedek, the king of Jerusalem, who gathered a coalition of four other Canaanite kings to make war on the Gibeonites because they had entered into a league with the army of Israel. Upon learning of this threat, the Gibeonites immediately sent to Joshua to come and help them. Dr. Cairns is drawing a spiritual parallel between the wrath of those heathen people against the Gibeonites and the hatred of the world for those who profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Savior made it quite clear to his disciples that the world would hate them just as it had hated him. As long as a person is living like the rest of the world, there's no problem. But as soon as one comes to Christ and tries to live a godly life, the opposition of the unsaved begins to rage against him, for the world both hates and fears godliness. In the course of this message, Dr. Cairns is seeking to bring a word of encouragement to embattled saints by showing that the Lord Jesus comes to the aid of his persecuted people. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 23. The city hath no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. Yonder in the better world, the inhabitants are independent of all creature comforts. They have no need of raiment. Their white robes never wear out, neither shall they ever be defiled. They need no medicine to heal diseases, for the inhabitant shall not say, I am sick. They need no sleep to recruit their frames. They rest not day nor night, but unweariedly praise Him in His temple. They need no social relationship to minister comfort, and whatever happiness they may derive from association with their fellows is not essential to their bliss, for their Lord's society is enough for their largest desires. They need no teachers there. They doubtless commune with one another concerning the things of God, but they do not require this by way of instruction. They shall all be taught of the Lord. Ours are the alms at the king's gate, but they feast at the table itself. Here we lean upon the friendly arm, but there they lean upon their beloved and upon him alone. Here we must have the help of our companions, but there they find all they want in Christ Jesus. Here we look to the meat which perisheth and to the raiment which decays before the moth, but there they find everything in God. We use the bucket to fetch us water from the well, but there they drink from the fountainhead and put their lips down to the living water. Here the angels bring us blessings, but we shall want no messengers from heaven then. They shall need no Gabriels there to bring their love notes from God, for there they shall see Him face to face. Oh, what a blessed time shall that be, when we shall have mounted above every second cause and shall rest upon the bare arm of God. What a glorious hour when God and not His creatures, the Lord and not His works, shall be our daily joy. Our souls shall then have attained the perfection of bliss.
Thank you.
How often have you passed a church displaying a sign which read revival during a given set of dates? Yet how many Christians in this age of megachurches and seeker-sensitive religion have the faintest idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense? Certainly, the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. And down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the late 1940s and early 50s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners, who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of Duncan Campbell's own account of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. There is also a CD containing the personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Christ during those revival times. Either CD is $5, or you may obtain both for $8, which includes postage and handling. To obtain your own copy, you may simply send a check for either or both CDs to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of The Revival on the Isle of Lewis. Make the check out to Let the Bible Speak. If you wish, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You will be greatly blessed as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work.
basically the very same forces that confronted Gibeon confronted Christ. Powerful forces constantly plotting his death. From the moment Herod heard that he had been born, what was the plan? Kill him. As soon as he arrived in the scene of his public ministry and he went to Nazareth and he read from the 61st chapter of the book of Isaiah and said, "This day this is fulfilled in your mouth," and he started to go on and tell them of the mighty sovereign grace and power of God, what happened? They sought to murder him and throw him over the cliff face in the city of Nazareth. Right through his ministry, plotting to kill him. The same forces assaulted those who trusted in him. John chapter 9, you have the story of the blind man whom Christ healed. Blind from birth. In many ways, this is a miracle that stands on a par with the raising of Lazarus from the dead. I don't really think you could say it took more power to do the one than the other. In the history of the world, it has never been known that a man blind by birth could be healed. And yet this man received his sight. What happened? He was immediately driven out of the synagogue. Driven out of the synagogue. The same thing happened, didn't it, to the early church? Pentecost was followed by persecution. Paul and Barnabas went so far as to say that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. I think it's vital that Christians understand and realize that the world hates them and the world aims to destroy them. Peter said, "Be sober, be vigilant." Now, any time you have this injunction in Scripture to be sober, any time you're being directed to sobriety, it's not saying stay off alcohol. That's very good advice, mind you, but that's not what it's saying. It's talking about the way you think. Think straight. Get this clearly in your mind. Don't be fooled. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. To listen to some preachers nowadays, you would think that the devil had declared a truce in his war against Christ and the church. It's one of the great themes of modern evangelicalism, that they are going to redeem the culture. They're going to redeem even Hollywood. I think that's a bigger miracle than giving sight to somebody born blind or raising the dead. They're going to redeem the culture. As if there were a great truce in the battle. But let us think straight. The world hasn't changed. The devil hasn't changed. The powers of apostasy haven't changed. They're certainly roaring their defiance and their hatred. Sometimes the enemy tries to devour God's people physically, to make them martyrs. The history of the Church of Christ has the longest river in the world. It has the river of the blood of the martyrs running through 2 millennia now. This century in which we live, far from being one of the better, is one of the worst. This is a century in which millions, literally millions, of God's believing people have been done to death. There are times, of course, when the devil and the powers of hell seem to be incapable of inflicting that kind of punishment, so they attack spiritually. And it's spiritual shipwreck that is the great danger that now confronts most of us. Spiritual shipwreck. When you look around the churches, look even across this congregation this morning, look in your own heart. How many Christians, even at this moment, are in danger of making shipwreck? How many? What about your life? Oh, this is a real battle. When you look at Joshua 10, you can learn the strategy of the enemy. They came up against the walled city of Gibeon. What were they doing? They were making a concentrated attack on Gibeon's defenses. That's where the devil starts. He starts opposing and battering at the things which give God's people particular defense. In other words, he batters at our separation. He hammers away at the wall that divides the Christian from the enemy. Now, the Gibeonites had no difficulty seeing that every thrust of Adonai Zedek was meant for their destruction. It was meant to pierce their defenses. However, so often Christians don't have as much sense. So often Christians fail to recognize Satan's attacks. Now, here's a very good and very simple rule of life. Anything that destroys our separation from the world is a ploy of the enemy, and it lays us open to further devastating ravages. Anything that destroys our separation from the world is not of God, it is of the devil. Now, that's a very simple and sweeping statement. Sometimes we can bamboozle ourselves with all sorts of intricate theories when God's word is very simple on it. Let us look at our own lives. Let's look at the things that we have to deal with. Do they separate us from the world, or do they separate us from God? Do they put distance between us and the Lord? Do they weaken our love for the Lord? Do they weaken our stand for the Lord? Those are simple questions. And in most cases, they provide simple answers. Where you've got an answer clear and plain, understand what puts between the Christian and his God is a ploy of the devil. You look at this passage, you not only see that strategy, but you learn the strength of the enemy's attack. Because it's a combination of all the forces that are likely to bring about our downfall. The devil attacks on all fronts, the world attacks, the flesh attacks. You've got this combination on all fronts, attacking our faith, our fidelity to Christ, our assurance, our joy, our peace. Attacking our Bible reading, attacking our praying, attacking our family life, attacking our fellowship with the people of God, attacking our unity in the Spirit, attacking the bond that ought to bind the people of God together in Christ-like love, attacking our burden for souls, our evangelism, our outreach, our vision. There's an attack on all fronts. Now, the enemy may seek to deceive us into submission, or he may seek to bludgeon us into submission. He'll use any weapon, any person, any situation. And he has a formidable array of forces at his command. The Savior warned us, sometimes the enemy uses our own family. A man's foes shall be they of his own household. That's one of the hardest things in life to bear. Think of a young woman in Belfast many years ago who came to know Christ. She lived in a strongly Protestant part of the city of Belfast, surrounded by people who proclaimed that they were Protestants. Her family was Protestant. Her family was heathen. As a 16-year-old girl, she was told, you either renounce this religion or you remove yourself from this home. 16. Abandoned to the world, as far as her parents were concerned. Man's foes will often be those of his own household. Sometimes the enemy uses our own flesh. James reminds us that every man, when he's tempted, he's drawn away with his own lust and enticed. The devil uses our flesh. Now, in all this, he has very, very particular but very extensive aims. I haven't time to pursue them, but I want you to understand what this is all about. The rage of the world and the flesh and the devil is to dispossess the Savior of his conquest. Joshua had laid hold, even though it was through peace, he had laid hold of Gibeon. Gibeon was now among the Israelites. Gibeon belonged to the kingdom. And the enemy sought to dispossess Joshua of his conquests. Sought to dissuade others from submitting to him. And sought to derail the progress of the people of God. And those are the extensive aims that the enemy has in mind as the world and the flesh and the devil would amalgamate against those who are reconciled to God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.